Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us again today. This is your host, Brother T, with you again on the best hour, the episode of here on truethought.org. We appreciate you for being here. Thank you for following us along on the internet. We're going to be discussing lesson 294 today and, of course, in Miracles Workbook lessons. And I'm joined by my beautiful wife, Reverend A. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, I just really enjoy our time together here.
Me too.
In discussion of these lessons. What a great way to begin the day, huh?
Absolutely.
So before we begin, let's all come together and join together in a moment of silence. Let's take a good deep breath.
My body is a wholly neutral thing. I am a daughter of God, and can I be another thing as well? Did God create the mortal and corruptible? What use has God's beloved daughter for what must die? And yet a neutral thing does not see death, for thoughts of fear are not invested there, nor is a mockery of love bestowed upon it. Its neutrality protects it while it has use, and afterwards, without a purpose, it is laid aside. It is not sick or old or hurt. It is but functionless, unneeded, and cast off. Let me not see it more than this today, of service for a while, and fit to serve to keep its usefulness while it can serve, and then to be replaced for greater good.
My body, Father, cannot be your son, and what is not created cannot be sinful or sinless, neither good nor bad. Let me, then, use this dream to help your plan that we awaken from all dreams we may. My body is a wholly neutral thing. And so it is. Let's take another good deep breath and a moment to pause here, a moment of silence. You know, we were just recently having a discussion about the body, so it's kind of fun to come back again. I think yesterday I was talking about how circuitous the course is, and we keep talking about the same thing over and over, but we keep seeing it with fresh eyes. We keep seeing it from elevated consciousness as we are climbing this ladder, if you will, to realization. Each step along the way, each rung on the ladder, we begin to look back at our past thoughts, our past ideas, our past beliefs, and we begin to see them more clearly. And the body then begins to be something that neither needs to be celebrated nor grieved, you know. And this lesson really, comes to me as you were reading today, that, you know, this is telling us to let go the woe, so to speak, of that we have so much investment in grief in our world today. I feel like people grieve a past for their ancestors. You know, they grieve what they believe sometimes to be misgivings about the lives that people lived in the past, and we're supposed to be doing something today to make up for that. But they're not here, and we weren't there. We're making up stories, and it's really all focused on body constructs, how the body was treated, you know, how the body performed or didn't perform or was used or abused and all those things. These are just examples. These are, and I'm not denying the appreciation that any of us should have for those who have come before us, who have been our forefathers and our teachers. They're showing us ourselves. And at one point, you begin to realize that you are your ancestors. I was sharing this the other day with somebody jokingly. We were talking about their birthday, and I said, well, I've been reincarnated well over 500 times. And so I've celebrated every birthday. Every day is my birthday. You know, and we laughed about it. And then subsequent to that, I'm thinking, no, 500 times. I'm sure it's been 14 or 16 or 1800 times at this point. You know, we've been everywhere and every wind. We are our ancestors. It's how are we being present with ourselves today, and how are we being present and loving with this wonderful vehicle, this divine instrument of communication that our body is. Mm. It's neutral in its value, but it is a beautiful, divine creation that allows us to communicate with each other and to share with each other. I know yesterday in our conversation, we were talking about we were sharing a story about, you know, someone that was in some distress, and we were just, there's no accidents. Everything happens. You know, we were there, they were there, the timing and everything is like, you can't make these stories up. You know, we're creating, we are co-creating our experiences, and we're attracting to ourselves the very experiences we're having. But those were experiences of utilizing the body to communicate intimacy, to communicate being present, to communicate, you know, being willing to feel the need to communicate love. And I think it's just great that we can begin to see, as we can begin to see, that the body in and of itself is neutral, and we can see it with the fresh eyes of love, and not to grieve about it, you know, when we lay it down, but to know that it's our choice. It's not our salvation or our demise. It is a vehicle for us to communicate and be the expression of love here as our higher self, as we join in union and relationship through the holy instant with our higher self, with the Holy Spirit, nothing more than our right mind, that we become that vehicle. We become that expression. The body's the vehicle. We become the expression there and then, in the present now, of God, of love, of what we truly are.
Wow. I have always felt that this concept from A Course in Miracles has been kind of a pivot point for me, kind of a shift in my concepts that I was raised with. And in so doing, at first, feeling so much confusion and resistance to this because, you know, when I first heard this, I was so completely identified with body, you know, that it as my identity. And as that has shifted over the years, this has been a very helpful tool for me. And as a minister and somebody who is, you know, who has companioned people releasing their body and has companioned people grieving and has created a celebration of life and, you know, funeral services for individuals, it has really helped me to be able to be present to people, not in an incompassionate way or uncompassionate way, but in I actually think a more compassionate and gentle way, in which somebody has to see beyond the appearance. Somebody has to have this understanding so that we can help one another to see it. And, you know, as my mother begins to approach her transition, I, as Claudia Renee, as her daughter, I have my grieving. I feel that sense of loss of this experience where in this experience, my life has been unprecedented with regard to not having her presence. In other words, I've never had that experience of not having her physical presence in this experience. And so, you know, what will life be like after that? And what I've learned from my experience with my father is that it's still life, and I still have interactions with him, and I have interactions with my mother now, even though she's miles apart and can't interact with me. I still have, you know, interactions with her higher self, and so this idea of the neutrality of the body freeing us from the gnashing of the teeth and the despair and the grief and bereavement of the physical loss of a person, you know, is such a freeing thing that it's simply laid aside. It doesn't get sick. It doesn't get old. It's not hurt. And so if I think of sickness and age and pain, you know, it doesn't get sick, old, or hurt. And the way that those are the things that we protect against, you know, we spend so much of our time about body concerns, and the freedom that we receive when we actually understand that it's a neutral thing is really freeing, that it truly is not my identity. My body, Father, cannot be your son. And what is not created cannot be sinful or sinless, neither good nor bad. Let me use the stream. Let me offer this body. Let me offer this experience that I have chosen to help me to awaken from all dreams that were made. So if the body is not created, how does it come into quote unquote form? Is the question that I think this lesson begs and might be asked. So could you address that?
It's created, or let's say made. In the Course in Miracles, we like to use, well, I'll say Jesus likes to use, so I like to do what he does. You know, I like to take advantage of his methodology. But we use the term made instead of created. So the ego makes things and God creates. We are creators. But when we drift off to sleep, we make a body in our mind, and it functions pretty much like this one does in this awakened dream state, if you will. You cannot remember when you came into this experience. Most people do not remember being born, is my example. By the time we get to be 2, 3, somewhere around there, maybe 3, 4. For me, I think I was like 3, or some of my very earliest memories, I think, were only 3 years old, maybe 4 years old. Mm-hmm. Nothing before that. And so I just, like we go to sleep at night and we just find ourselves in a dream and we don't question how we got there. We just see ourselves as bodies and we see ourselves in a world of form. Mm-hmm. And it's a mind construct. We are dreaming. So how is the body made in a dream? It's a projection of self into an image that can be, in this case, since our minds are all joined, we can see each other in the construct of this imagery. So it's just our imagination.
And it's our judgment of it. It's our placing value in
valuation
it.
Of it.
Valuation of it that takes it out of the neutrality that protects it while it has use.
So it makes
it's
it very
neutrality.
Concrete.
It's the neutrality that protects the body. It's the that's what it says here. It's neutrality protects it while it has use.
Yes.
And so how interesting that is to extend that to other things that we've made and to see it as neutral and to know it as a fact of mind and therefore can be shifted and transmuted and transfigured and through the power of that mind.
Absolutely. So here's let's discuss that just briefly. If I'm never afraid of being sick, I'm not going to get sick. If I don't see the body as vulnerable, it's not going to express vulnerability. The body's protection is neutral. That's a very powerful statement because it's saying that the body is reflecting mind.
Mm.
And if I see myself as healthy, and I focus on myself as healthy, my body begins to align with it. I remember a few years ago, I met someone who was younger than me, who was very active and energetic and extremely healthy. And I just decided that I wanted to be healthier. And so I remember telling a friend of mine at the time, you know what, I'm going to take 10 years off my life. And this person said to me, well, you can't do that. You know, you are your age, you are what you are. And I said, no, I can do that. Watch and see. Because I had the mindset that I'd already begun to learn through A Course in Miracles that the body reflects the mind. Mm. And I decided to be healthier. So what did I do? I changed the way I ate. I became more active. I lost weight. I played more. I had more fun. I literally began to judge myself less, and I certainly began to judge my body less. And my body responded. And within a couple of years, people go, you know, man, you're just looking so much younger. You know, what are you doing? Mm, right? Mm-hmm. It is a reflection of us.
Yeah.
Right? So if the neutrality, if we keep the body neutral, in other words, we give it no power.
Yeah. Yeah.
We give the body power and say, it's causing me to be, my body's older now and I've got to suffer this. No, those are beliefs that are manifesting because those are beliefs. And so that little statement is huge, you know, in its portent, because if we keep our judgments neutral, even about our own body and certainly others, that protects the body from our negative, fearful thoughts. And so it doesn't manifest in those vibrations. We hold it above those octaves of frequency. And it shows itself to be what it really is. It's a divine instrument of communication.
I love that. I love that. It is a divine instrument of communication.
And as Jesus tells us, I mean, that's really the body's purpose. It's a communication device. So we'll leave it with that for the day. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Mighty Companion, for being with us today, for journeying with us on this conversation. This wonderful lesson. God bless you. Have a great day. Stay the course. We're committed to staying the course with you. We'll be back.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander to temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send my love into the heavens, and it returns.